I think close enough.
6 pounds.
I think their total ridership for a day was something like less than 200.
Hi, good afternoon, and welcome to the Tuesday, July 2nd, 2019 meeting of the Ulster County Legislature's Economic Development, Tourism, Housing, Planning, and Transit Committee. I want to take a brief second here, pointing out today's date, July 2nd. It's a pretty interesting day in American history. We all know we're going to be celebrating Independence Day later this week, but actually the Second Continental Congress voted to approve the separation from Great Britain on July 2nd. That's when the actual vote occurred. And I just have a little something here for you. Borrowing your time for a second. John Adams wrote a letter to his wife Abigail the following day, and this is a paragraph that I find inspiring. And begin. "But this day, the second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to Almighty God. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forevermore." And when you think about that, although the day after they voted, the day before, July 4th, he was envisioning a continental United States. So things a little forward. And so with that, I'll ask everybody to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Mary, would you please call the roll?
Sure. Legislator Archer?
Here.
Legislator DeLon?
Here.
Legislator Mayo?
Here.
Legislator Maloney James? Legislator Maloney Joseph? Legislator Rodriguez?
Present.
Chairman Waltman?
Here. Okay, the minutes were circulated. If everybody's had time to review them, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of our last month's meeting.
Second.
All those in favor of approving last month's meeting minutes?
Aye.
Okay. Okay, so we have with us Carol Hargrove, the director of UCAT, and the deputy director of UCAT, Sadia Ahmed. Okay, and we're going to just listen to what their thoughts or what their take is on the merger of UCAT and Kingston City Bus. We're going to ask everybody if we can let Carol complete her program and go through what she wants to say, and then we can hold our questions till afterwards. So, Carol, you'll go forward to you.
Chairman.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate you inviting me over and giving me the opportunity to get a little more detail than we normally have in the quick meetings and all that good stuff, or what we put out in the flyers and everything. This study has been going on really since like 2004 and 2009 we did it again, and 2013 we did it again, and then we put it out there in 2000, I think it was end of 17, we started to do the study again and brought in some consultants. When you do a study, what's all involved? What's involved, you go out to the public, you do surveys. The consultants were on the buses, they were down at the hubs. We do in-house surveys. We watch the ridership, we do studies. What people don't understand, the amount of software that UCAT has available that we can capture a lot of the information, where CityBus really didn't have that software. Everything they picked up was on paper. So a lot of where people get on, where people get off, was basically by what was done by surveys and what was done with what the drivers had told us. So that information was all gathered, and then we looked at, where's low income? Where's the seniors? Where's the shopping? Where's business? Where's the areas that would be better served than just around different neighborhoods? Right? So with the consultants, we came up with the new routes. We went to red, blue, yellow, because with change, you don't want to stay ABC, because then people in their mind are going to think ABC. So I think we've all talked about the red route, the blue route, the yellow route. What we did with the red route, this is your Wall Street, Bear Street, Clinton Avenue, a lot of small shops up to your mental health, family practice, the jail's there, probation is there, Gateway's there, the infirmary. A lot of employers, right, are on this route right through here. 15 minutes down, 15 minutes back. What you also have is the blue route going down Broadway. We want to make sure we service everybody on Broadway going to the small businesses, and it's walking distance to quite a few of the areas that were served by the city bus before. What we did, where's the big holdup? Right in front of the high school is what slows up the bus. So we went Pine Grove, and then we went on Mary's Avenue. What is there? You have the Kingston Hospital, you have another medical facility, and you also have the satellite campus, and you have the rear entrance of the high school, which I think now is the one going to be one of the main entrances, right, Dennis? So we're serving that on the backside of Broadway. Then we're coming down Westchester. We're serving the senior residence, Jasmine Towers here, down Ward Street to Abeel Street, up Broadway, back over to Colonial Gardens, Roundout Gardens, to service low income, Murray here to the Yellow Route where they make a transfer. The Yellow Route was designed to run north to south to make the connections. We didn't want to go everybody and then run this back to the plaza. They can run and make the connection and go back and forth. They go to DSS so they can make a connection to go to the mall area. Not only to the mall area, but to Saugerties and anywhere, Lake Katrine up there. They have access to all the medical centers, the shopping in that area. It always goes to the Port Newman senior residents, the Birches. They were limited to the amount of service that they had. Now this bus goes every half hour over to the Birches, and they transfer here. So how did we run the first day, right? Yesterday was the first day. I think you're going to be excited to find out. The first day, yes, did we run a little bit behind? But I tell you what, we had wonderful drivers come from the city of Kingston over to our department. They did very well. They came in on Saturday. They had a training because, you know, we're all computerized. We have our tablets. They came in. They learned the tablets. They got out on those runs on Monday, and between the tablets, running the new routes and that, of course you're going to run some late runs, but I tell you, they did a fabulous job. I think we ran 10, 15s one time. I think we got to be about 20 minutes behind, but if you look at today, and I brought reports today because we can track, we were on time today all day. All right. How many passengers, take a guess, how many passengers do you think we carried yesterday on just the new routes, A, the blue, yellow, and red? Anybody just take a guess?
100.
208 passengers we carried yesterday. That's already about 50 passengers more than their average day. So when I left today, when I looked at 3 o'clock before the afternoon run started, we were already up to 155 passengers for the day with the new run. So that is saying a lot. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, what about everybody that's not on the existing routes? I had all the drivers get me the names. Last week, I myself called all the people that said they lived out this way, that would give their names to the drivers. And I contacted them. I said, where do you live? Where do you need to go? Do you go to work? What time? Then I put them in touch with scheduling, and they've all been scheduled to be picked up. So we started picking up people here that go this way, here that need to go to the hospital. There's a woman out here that needs to go to Benedictine, so we feed her to the blue route, she gets here. We feed another woman that needs to go to Benedictine, she goes here. There's a gentleman that lives over here, we feed to the yellow route, and he goes over here. So it is working. And I think for what? We've been running, it was 12 hours yesterday, whereas 18 hours, and I think we've done a fabulous job. Not me, but the crew has done a fabulous job. The drivers, the dispatchers, the schedulers have really put out a great service and have done an excellent job serving the citizens of the city of Kingston. But remember, they're not only able to ride in the city of Kingston, now they're making a smoother connection with all the county buses that are going outside. So they're going to the college. When the students start this fall, and their parents, all the time I saw parents bringing up their children to the Kingston Plaza. They drove them up and they caught the U bus from the plaza. Now what's happening, they can catch the blue bus or the yellow bus or the red bus and get to the plaza and get out to the college. And what's the best thing about that? They ride for free, right? The veterans are riding for free. So everyone who's riding within the city of Kingston are riding for free to the end of the year, and they're getting to see how the service runs. What else do they have now on these buses? We have the Wi-Fi is already installed on the buses. We did have a glitch as far as saying red, blue, and yellow. What happened, and I'll be very honest, Luminator, Kingston, City of Kingston had an outdated program. So when we went to put it on the buses yesterday morning, we couldn't update it. So now they're working on it. We had to, of course, buy it, but you know, it was a $400, but it's well spent $400 to update the software. So by tomorrow, all of them should either say red, blue, or yellow. The small buses do say red, blue, or yellow, but a couple of the big Gillicks, that it says Kingston Plaza, I think, to the waterfront or something. So as far as the people, are they understanding what routes? No, not so much yet, but the drivers are getting out and doing announcements or doing from the PA system. Yes?
Well, actually, I'm going to ask the first question, if I might. The demand response zones.
Mm-hmm.
The question that I have, so the two parts. You can, from a demand response zone, you can get access to any of the city routes, but you can also, can you get then from the city routes connect with the regular?
Definitely.
UCAP? Right.
All right.
And then the other question is, if a person in the morning arranges for a demand response, how do they then arrange to get to return later in the evening?
Two ways. There's two ways you can do it. If you know what time you're going to return when you make the pickup appointment, it's scheduled at that time. Now, usually senior appointments and stuff are the day before. Demand response, as long as you call an hour before, we are going to get you picked up. Everybody knows for demand response, it's only an hour. Just give us an hour and we'll get you picked up. So that has been changed. So it was the day before. So if you know you want to get picked up at 4 o'clock, call us at 3 o'clock. We'll make sure you're there, and we'll feed you to the route that's going to take you.
Okay. And they call dispatch?
They call either the 8458 or the 8120 number.
And dispatch hours, what are the dispatch hours?
Dispatch starts at 4:45 a.m., and they run until 11 p.m. at night.
Okay.
All right. Now, if anyone calls the 8120, all right, we get over 100. Now we were 100 without the demand response. So I'm figuring now yesterday we're about 120, 130. We have two people in there now doing the scheduling. If they're on the phone, you get a recording. Your name, where do you need to go, what time and all that. We tell, leave your information and we'll call you back. All right, it's very, and then they pick it up, they put you in the computer, they call you back and say, yes, you're scheduled to go.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, first off, I just need to make sure a blanket statement, as I always do. You know I trust you implicitly, Carol, so don't view any of this as remotely a critique. It's more a matter of that, Mr. Chair, as you, and in fact, actually all of us here, at our last legislative meeting, we had folks from the public come out to speak about that there may be gaps, right? And I think, you know, no matter what system that you design, there's always gaps, and you have to understand what those gaps are. In addition, and again, I'm Mr. Chair, actually, I want to commend you for going to that community meeting on Thursday, because I think you were our only representation there at that meeting. So I want to thank you, actually, for going. I was at a different committee meeting, but I'm glad you made it. I think there are still, though, you know, there are still concerns, and I think that may be more of where we need to sort of hone in, because I think what you designed is excellent, by the way, but it doesn't mean that there may not be some pieces of this that we may still need yet to adjust, and that may also be because, you know, I don't know really how robust the campaign was to actually reach out into the community. I know when I spoke to one of the alderpersons from the city of Kingston on this issue on Thursday, they kind of shrugged their shoulders. I won't reveal who that was because that's not polite, but I'm just saying it was an issue where, you know, if there are people who don't even know that there are communities out there being underserved and that there may be concerns with regards to how we design portions of those routes, and if there is in fact an easy solution, there may be, there may not be. I'm not here to actually go and prejudge because you're a professional and I know you know what you're doing, and I'm not, you know, but it is a thing where I think that concern is still out there. It's still valid, and I know there are some, at least one representative, I think, from that group. I don't know if there's two. Okay, there are two. Sorry, I did not know. So I don't know, Mr. Chairman, if at any point you want to open up to public discussion or not.
Well, we'll just go through legislative questions.
Okay.
I think what the comment I would like to make is we do reach out, and it's very important that we reach out. There's no way, I've been in transit for going on 30 years, 28 years total, 20 with you, Kat, which you know. And, right, so I know. But there's no way we're going to have all the answers. I think you go out with the best product you can get with the information that you gathered from the different meetings, from talking to passengers on the bus, from the surveys, the consultants were out there, and you put something together. Then you revisit, and we want to hear from the public. What's working, what's not working? I did bring, you know, we have the software. So I know, okay, I had 5 minutes between this stop. Is it actually 5 minutes? And I looked at that today. And I was so impressed on how on time they really ran today. They really ran on time. But with a few minutes here and a few minutes less here, and this is what we're going to look at over the next 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. Then in 90 days, we make an adjustment. To make an adjustment too soon doesn't pay. Listen, you have to listen, and you have to listen for more than 30 days. 90 days, we want to listen between now and 90 days and make, if there needs to be a revamp, that's when we will do the first revision. Then with that revision, just like when we revamped everything for you, Kat, so we'll go out and we'll do it again. It will take a good year to get this as smooth as we have gotten UCAT. And, you know, with UCAT, when we first started, we were at 200,000 passengers. With the revision, we're up to 400,000. So that says a lot. I really feel that by the end of the year, we're going to almost double the ridership. I mean, the average ridership was 100 to 150 passengers a day for the city of Kingston. We did 208 on the very first day. I think that says a lot. 208 passengers on a first day where people are getting used to the runner, A or B or C or blue or red or yellow, and where does it go and this and that. I was down at the plaza yesterday from 7 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock, and then I was on the bus. I had ridden the bus with the mayor and the county executive, and then I exited the bus and went back to answer any calls that were coming into the office. So I was down there to make sure if there were any questions from the riding public that they wouldn't hear it from somebody else, they would hear it from me. So, and I did bring down the charts and stuff. So I think it says a lot for what the study, what we've done up to this point, what the consultants have done, and it's just not them. Planning played a big part. Everybody, there's so many departments and so many people that have played such a large part in putting these two systems together that the only thing I can say, I think it's one of the best things that we've done for Ulster County in a very long time. I think this one transit system, and once people get used to it, will be such a positive impact, especially when we start seeing electric buses go down Broadway. You know, I think it's going to be wonderful. And I would like to take the 85,000 passengers that City Bus carried last year, and turn that into 200,000 for the year of 2020. And I think we can do it. I think we can do it.
Okay. Any legislators have any questions? Okay. I'll entertain a question from any member of the public that might be here that might be interested. I would ask you to please introduce yourself and what town you're from, so Carol can be know who's asking the question.
Where are you from?
My name is Amanda Sissenstein. I live in New Paltz, but I'm trying to move to Kingston because I now work in Kingston. So I have a few questions. I know that there's supposed to be signs going up, but right now the only signs up are the ones that we made, because there's still no signs up, which is concerning because, again, it's day three. And I am glad to see that things did go smoothly the first day, because, I mean, I think the one thing we all have in common is we want a fully functional and solid and smooth public transit system, all involved. But there definitely are issues. We have people who, we've had reports from people who called Sunday and today, who called the dispatch number, and the person who answered the phone was not able to give them information of how to get from where they were to where they needed to go. within the demand response zone. I don't know if maybe somebody was just like stepping in while someone had to go to the bathroom and they just weren't informed. You know, I'm not sure what it was, but you know, that we've gotten several reports of that happening. And then also just reports of people who just didn't know. Like even as we were putting up posters and handing out flyers, people were like, oh, well, I had to call a cab, which is, as we all know, a lot more expensive than a bus, because the bus didn't come, they didn't know why. So there's still a lot of that happening, and I think, and I know it sounds like there's going to be more public outreach. It would have been nice if it had been sooner, so people could have planned ahead of time to figure out how they're going to get to work, how they're going to get to the grocery store.
Do you have a question, please?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, the first question was, when are the signs going up?
Okay.
The question... I am working with Timely Signs. They are making the signs now. Not only will new signs be going up, the bus stop signs will say red across the top and red on, will have the red color. They will all be put up on the existing bus stops that we are still serving. All the other ones will be taken down. All right. And then there's going to be signs put at this plaza. And on all the bus shelters that we're going to serve, there'll be a map and schedules.
Are there going to be signs in the places that were previously on the regular routes that are no longer on the regular routes?
You mean bus stop signs?
Just signs where people catch the bus or even on the buses themselves. So people who were previously able to just walk to the nearest bus stop and take the bus, who can't do that right now, who don't know exactly what's going on or what number to call or how to do the on-demand,
right,
or that's available to them.
Well, what we have is, now the city of Kingston had designated bus stops. UCAT is a flag stop service. So if you live anywhere along or you walk to any one of these, all you have to do is flag the bus. You don't have to be at a bus stop. You just need to flag the bus. What we do is we will, because there are signs out there and people are used to walking to them, we will re-sign those with the red.
But are they going to be in the spots that were previously part of the city bus regular routes that are no longer on the regular route?
No.
Okay. Those are the people who most need to know about this. So if that's something that can be done, that would be great. That's where we put our signs, to inform people that were out there waiting for a bus that wasn't ever going to come. Because a lot of people, they just don't know that it's happening. And I would also like to just say, I was on that list of affected people. I gave my name and my number to an A bus driver, and I never received a call from anyone. So, just wanted to say that too. So we would also like to invite you to have two community meetings where you can talk directly to the public. Obviously, you know, we can only take a limited amount of time. I know you guys have other things to do. We haven't scheduled them yet. Well, we can definitely reach out to you to see when would be most convenient for you. We're looking at evening meetings, one in Ponkonkoki and then one at the Methodist Church on Clinton.
Yeah, because I know we're looking at scheduling meetings also.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. So if we can touch base later for that.
Because I, you know, just so people know, I have done, you know, I've been out there. I've been to a lot of the senior residents. I've been out to Gateway. I've been out to UAR. I've been to a lot of areas, and I put it out there. Anyone who would like me to come and speak with them, I'm there. Anyone who is not used to the service that would like the travel training, we are there for them. Anyone who needs information, we are there for them. We do not want to limit anyone or have anyone think that they do not have transportation. What I want people to understand is you have more people have the opportunity for transportation than ever before. Why do I say that? Because if you live where the old bus route was, you would get on the bus if the old route was there, A, B, or C. Now, because you live in the DR zone that surrounds that route, all those people have access to transportation who didn't have access to transportation before. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So now, you don't have to live on the A, B, or C route to get that demand response. Those people can also call and get the demand response and get fed to the fixed route service. So I think once people understand that, they will see that we're offering more transportation that's ever been offered before. And I think, you know, we have to get that out too. So, Amanda, if you can put that out there too, that would be helpful. So, thank you.
We definitely want to inform the public, but we also are all working people. You know, I work literally every day. So,
yeah,
you know, my time is limited. And so, everybody else in our committee, we're all working folks. And most of us are bus takers, not all of us, but most of us are. You know, and
Your next
question. We can't do your job for you.
Thank
as much
you.
As we would like to. I mean, we'd love to help as much as we can. I guess what I'm saying is our
that's
time.
That's fine.
Okay, thank you, Carol.
How do you calculate how many passengers? Like, gonna, when you give passenger numbers,
it's going to be the last question, okay?
How many do you, like, how do you calculate? Just because, you know, is it like, could one person count
if you
twice,
saw on the bus, have you been on the bus? Have
Which
you
one?
Seen the tablets? All our, everything is calculated by tablets. Everything is calculated through data collection,
originally.
Through the NOVA scheduling system. When someone gets on, City of Kingston, that's our code for City of Kingston, COK, one on.
Okay.
COK, three on.
Number of riders per day.
Yep.
Okay.
So we can calculate, I can look at any time and know what my ridership is, where the bus is, what time they were at each stop. That's how I know that they ran on time today. You know, that's how I know how late they ran yesterday. And, you know, you have to, we also have drivers that they're not used to the routes. Does somebody need a little more training? There's a lot of things to look at, but I tell you, UCAT has the software, and that's what makes this such a great thing, an expansion into the City of Kingston. So now we know how many people in the City of Kingston actually use public transportation. And down the road, maybe we can offer more public transportation. We at least now will have the numbers to know what transportation is required within the City of Kingston, because we did find that out for the county outside the city because of the software. And that's how we went from 200 to 400,000. So it's really, I think it's a positive service. And now they have Wi-Fi, right? Now they have the free bus app. So, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you know, Carol, one thing I do want to make a statement on is that let's also not pretend that City Bus was perfect before, okay? Like, that's another thing that, and I'm speaking now as somebody who at various points has used public transit extensively. So as much, you know, I'm giving you all credit with regards to re-envisioning and refashioning it, but the one thing I also want to make sure is to make sure, please, as much as possible, if you can work with Amanda and the people in the community, if there are, and if that's part of your listening tour, great, with regards to how these routes may need to be modified, that's fine. Like, you know, but I think we have to take these concerns seriously. At the same time, let's also recognize that this, you know, that this is progress.
Well, my comment would be, just make one comment. Mm-hmm. My comment would be, if I didn't take what people say seriously, we can improve what we have. So any comment that is made, I always take it serious, and I will work with anybody who wants to give me information.
Okay.
You know, and I really mean that. So
can you make sure that she gets your number or vice versa or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right. Or better yet, I can give you my email. Email, please email. I can email back from anywhere. I can't call you back from anywhere. All right? So email's the best.
All right. Carol, thank you very much. We really appreciate you stopping in tonight and giving us an update.
Thank
and
you.
We'll be looking for further updates.
I know. Hopefully
we
next year. Did he have one question?
We have one other question.
Okay. One more question.
I'm Phil. I recently moved back to Ulster County, living in Kingston, Midtown. Phil Erhard. I'm just wondering, Carol, you mentioned that this is a trial or that you'll reevaluate or something in 90 days. How exactly does that work? Is that like an automatic? Is there like a default where this continues if nothing else happens, or does it reset to something? Just can you speak to how you'll determine
what
will
happen is you'll see within the next 30 days surveys go out. All right. Not only will surveys go out for feedback, you'll see myself probably at bus stops or on the bus. We'll ask, you know, watch for feedback on Facebook, watch for feedback on anyone who emails me or anything there. We look for any comment. You know, if there's one area that the bus is constantly late, or we find out that there's a lot of people that work over here and we're not serving over there, and then we have 50 people saying they want bus service there and we're not getting anybody over here, then we'll adjust. You know, and that's what happens. Like I say, this is never set in stone. I don't think a bus route is ever set in stone. You know, we still tweak UCAT every now and then a little bit. You know, we'll want to watch Ward Street to Broadway and all through here we'll want to watch. You know, and on Saturday, we have the Saturday, and on Saturday, every other run is going to go to Kingston Point on the Saturday run. So we didn't forget about Kingston Point, especially during the summer. Okay?
Well, great. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay. Appreciate everybody. Okay, we're going to move on to resolutions. And so you know, we're going to take a resolution out of order. Relates to UCAT. It's a resolution 297. We're going to take care of that first. It's a resolution number 297 authorizing a grant application to the Federal Transit Administration to apply, accept, and administer 5307 funds transferred from the Rural Transportation Assistance Program, Section 5311B3, for bus replacements, and authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute any required applications or agreements to accept funding. Ulster County Area Transit, UCAT.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion?
Did Dennis write this title?
I wrote it.
Was that? Who did? Who did?
Sasha. Oh, Sasha?
Okay. Carol,
it's a mouthful.
Oh, sorry. It's rolled off the tongue.
Sasha, if you wrote it, it's fine. Don't worry.
What I would like to say about this resolution and about this grant that we've applied for, Sasha and I put our heads together and we thought outside the box again a little bit. How can we help get some of this stuff funded, right? So not only are we purchasing a bus for $435,000, which is fully funded right here, it says the local share, but that is going to be taken care of. We also, everybody knows that the Department of the Environment came out with the Clean Air Act, and your diesel particles and all that have to get, all buses now are fitted with the DPF, right? Your diesel buses that we still have are fitted with DPFs. So what did we do? We put into our grant, we talked to the FTA, and we said, listen, you know, these buses have DPFs, they have EGR valves, they're costing about $4,000 or $5,000 a piece to change out, and it's very expensive, but we need to stay within the guidelines until we get electric buses. So we asked for $145,000 to put towards all these expensive parts that don't come out of the preventive maintenance end. So with every the bus we will order,
you're gonna pre-order the parts?
We're ordering 8 DPFs, 8 EGR valves for the existing buses that still have not met its useful life until they're replaced with the electric buses. So I think that is really a great thing that we were able to get the FTA to agree to that $145,000.
Nice.
So
good job.
Yeah.
Any legislators have any questions for Carol on this? Any? No, we'll call for a vote. All in favor? Any opposed? That's passed unanimously, 5-0. Great. Carol, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. And thanks for members of the public for coming in tonight. Really appreciate having this discussion. Really, it's very helpful. And we look forward to more discussions, Carol.
I'll keep bringing you numbers.
Yeah, numbers are great. Okay, we're going to move on now, if we may. We'll go right back to the top of our agenda. Resolution number 146. And I'm sorry, beg your pardon. It's establishing a policy for the appointment of members to the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency, the IDA. Is there a motion? Hearing none, the rules do call for us to take a vote on this tonight, as I understand it. Section 7L. So I'm gonna ask for a vote on this resolution. All in favor? All opposed? So it's defeated 0-5. Thank you. Okay, resolution 179, restricting Chamber of Commerce memberships paid for with Ulster County funds. Motion?
Yes, I'll move it.
Okay.
Second.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. As the sponsor is currently not here, I will move to postpone resolution 179.
I'll second that.
All in favor of postponing 179?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 270, requesting the New York State Legislature introduce legislation amending general municipal law and the tax law in relation to including the County of Ulster within the definition of a designated community under the Hudson Valley Community Preservation Act of 2007. Is there a motion?
I guess it may technically be parliamentary procedure, but insofar as that resolution 270 was withdrawn at our last meeting, if it's withdrawn, I don't know if it necessarily goes back to committee. It's about whether or not the sponsor has reintroduced said legislation. And I guess through the chair to, since we are both listed as co-sponsors, Mr. Chair, but through the chair to Mr. DeLon.
As all three of us are.
Didn't. Yeah. That was my point. I thought the state legislature passed this.
They did.
So do we need to do this?
Well, let me ask my representative from Senate Hudson why this is important.
Thank you, Jim. I think if the state legislature did pass authorizing legislation for Ulster County Community to join the Community Preservation Act, Kevin Cahill and Jen Metzger led the charge on that effort, and Scenic Hudson and other land trusts in Ulster County are ready to share our technical expertise with local municipalities that may wish to pursue this. Just to be very clear, to follow up on very good points made in the last meeting, this is an opt-in program for local government, so our view is very much coming from the place of, if communities want to do this, we'd like to support them, aren't going to be out there necessarily evangelizing it. To the point of whether a resolution is necessary, technically the state legislature does not require this. There's nothing in the state constitution that requires this. There's nothing in the assembly rules that require this for a bill to pass. But however, I would say from a countywide perspective, it is a really important endorsement of a program that many people in the county have called for, and certainly an endorsement of the communities that would wish to pursue this in the future.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Bicking, while I appreciate that, Resolution 270 states requesting the New York State Legislature introduce legislation amending the general municipal law and the tax law in relation to including Ulster County in the definition of a designated community. Ergo, I'm saying the resolution as written as to what we might have here in front of us, we don't need to request them to go and introduce
it.
They already did it.
Right.
So meaning, I understand your point, and if at some point we want to go past something memorializing, that's different. But on top of that, I guess my question through the chair to Mr. Bicking is, did the governor already sign this?
The governor has not yet signed it. I don't know when the bill sponsors are planning to send this to the governor's desk. It could be sometime from late summer through December. It really just depends. Right.
At this time, Mr. Chair, again, through the chair to Legislator DeLon, you may want to consider ensuring that 270 is withdrawn and that next month we actually have a resolution up urging the governor to sign the relevant Senate and Assembly bills that were passed.
Legislator Petit.
Thank you.
Aren't we able to make an amendment on this?
You would need to amend the whole bill.
Because it becomes memorializing.
Yeah. And then you also need sponsors. And then... Yeah.
And we love memorializing resolutions.
Yeah, no, actually,
but,
yes.
I mean, if you change just some language about the impending...
We can just do it. It's not...
He 3 or 4 months. What if he doesn't sign it?
No, but I'm saying, but as Mr. Bicking just outlined, he has until, you said, August?
Is that something?
It's sometime late summer through the fall is when these things typically...
Yeah, if we are so unfortunate that the governor goes and signs it without our memorializing resolution, well, then I guess we will just turn that into a thank you note. but that said, at this time, through the chair to Mr. DeLon.
So I'll withdraw it.
It's withdrawn.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see now. I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. Okay,
I'm always.
We're going to call this together, please. Resolution 290, execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with Tyler Technologies Incorporated, Department of Information Services. Alan?
We should move to.
Is there a motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
A second. Okay.
You guys want to introduce yourself?
Yes, please.
I'm Alan Michael, the Deputy Director of Information Services. This is an amendment to a previous contract to extend the maintenance and software maintenance on the product for an additional year, which includes the Civil Serve, which is a separate product, and the entire suite of the public safety system, which includes the jail maintenance systems, the sheriff's system, the 911 system, et cetera, EMS, et cetera. So that's just an extension of the existing maintenance contract that we have with Tyler.
I agree. I'm going to ask the first question, if it's okay. Do you know what the original length of the contract was?
I believe it was January
12 months.
January 2017 right. to July.
And do we know, did the RFP that this was awarded under, did it contemplate extensions,
yes.
contract extensions?
This is maintenance. So it did. I mean, the original contract, I think, had 12 months of free maintenance on one end and 18 months on the other.
Correct.
And then we've also paid for a full year at
Correct.
This point.
Yeah.
And now this is a second amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And I would assume that we would see similar numbers to this in the future, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, and if I just may, how many more extensions would we anticipate on this? I mean, is this something we're looking to keep this?
I mean,
it's brand new.
It's kind of a bedrock of the public safety.
And the expected
system.
Useful life of it was or is?
I mean, it's a modern, like a web-based type of technology, so it has some longevity built into it, and it is the bedrock of the public safety system. So I anticipate this being around for some time.
Okay. Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you know, as you may remember, Mr. Chair, we actually had a discussion, I think actually one of your first meetings, mm-hmm. in which we actually had the old system and the new system. But that's not my question, though. So this is amendment number 3, right? And because we were building sort of like the new system almost alongside the old system, at this point, how much have we actually invested, not just in this program, because in this program it looks like we're up to $564,099. How much have we actually invested in New World, all of the different apps? I realize you may not have that number right now, but maybe you can get back to the committee or we can actually have finance.
You're talking about the financial system?
No, I'm talking about all of New World.
The financial system, this.
We continue to basically almost use Tyler Technologies almost exclusively, and while I understand they may be providing a great product, but by the same token, there seems to be this sort of just like every time you turn, it's always back to Tyler Technologies.
Yeah, so it's two main systems. It's our financial system,
yep.
and it's our
yep.
public safety system.
Yep.
And so, I mean, as far as software goes, those are the two big software, and those are the biggest pieces of software, probably close to it, that the county uses, correct?
Exactly. No?
But yes, we can get you the full number.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions from any other legislators? I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? 5-0. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming in, Alan. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
And Alan's actually an acting director. He introduced himself as the deputy.
Okay.
Probably out of, but he is the acting director right now.
Well, very good. Thank you. Look forward to seeing you again.
This is Joe.
I do.
For the on nights like night, tonight, right? All right. Resolution number 298, adopting the inclusion of additional lands in the agricultural districts within Ulster County as recommended by the Ulster County Agricultural and Farmland Protection Board, Department of Planning.
Second.
Any questions? Any discussion? Any discussion? Dennis, anything on this? Okay.
No,
they've been discussed.
Yeah. I'm fine. You're fine. I'm fine.
That's
Thank
fine.
You.
Thanks.
Just through the chair, just to verify to the planning director, Dennis, there was, I believe, a gentleman who actually came in front of us talking about his inclusion. That's all been resolved, and
he's not recommended for inclusion by for the Farmland Protection Board. He would not. He's willing.
Where's he located, by the way?
He's in town of Esopus,
okay.
And he's gonna probably reapply next year. He really had no farming activity. A and B was trying to figure out how he was going to get other farmers essentially to rent his land. So he wasn't actually a farmer himself.
Ah, okay.
He wasn't ready to go.
Yeah, he was not ready to go. That's the way of putting it.
It wasn't strictly the fact that he had to acquisition another piece of property. It was. answer you had given me prior.
Yeah, plus he was looking at another piece of property, which improves his access because he really has no access to the current piece of property because of the wetlands, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So there's a lot of issues just surrounding this, but he'll be back. He's committed, so he'll be back.
Right, very good. Okay, I'll call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 5-0. Resolution 312 in support of the John Burroughs Black Creek Trail Project consolidated funding application.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion? Legislator Rodriguez.
Well, I want to thank Legislator Petit for bringing this forward.
Bless you. Thank you.
I want to recognize Andy Picking for being shameless and showing up here tonight. And that's all I have to say, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other discussion? I'll call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Resolution 313, establishing a policy ensuring maximization of funds received by Ulster County pursuant to the New York State Homes and Community Renewal Community Development Block Grant Program.
I'll move it.
Okay.
Second.
And I think we should note there has been an amendment to this resolution. I guess it was late. It was distributed late this afternoon.
Okay.
Legislator Rodriguez.
The chair is
and leaving. Actually, do I have a copy of that amendment?
It's actually in our packet.
It's
in the bold. And so, with one exception, these are recommendations from the Department of Planning, so I want to make sure that I just sort of walk everybody through. I will point out the part that is not recommended by Planning, because it's actually all in bold, because that's just how an amendment would normally just be done. But you can see in the whereases where parts are bolded out, where parts are struck out. That was at the request of Department of Planning. Resolves 1 and 2 were redrafted by Planning. And the only thing that is in question at the minute was the last resolved, which I added in, which is resolved in the event. I want to make sure that I stress that, because it just says, in the event that the requested budget modifications are denied, that the county shall allocate an equal amount to the administrative expense reimbursement directly to the program, meaning if for some reason we had the community development block grant program just deny, you know, basically the state deny, us transferring those dollars directly into the program, we would just take it out from a different line item, so that way then that 15 coming in would then be replaced by 15 going out to be directly to the program. But if, as hoped, that the New York State Home and Renewal does approve us doing this, then the final result is merely moot. But I think I wanted to just show our commitment to, quite candidly, something I've discussed now for a while now. And with that, Mr. Chair, I am done.
Okay, Legislator Petit?
I mean, I know RUPCO is multifaceted, but what are these funds being used for directly? Is this part of the first-time homebuyer program?
This is a housing... I'm sorry.
Section 8?
No, but I'm sorry to interrupt you. I apologize.
No, okay. I was going to defer to the plan.
The current grant is for housing rehabilitation.
Okay.
So that the as it's currently written, we would move the $15,000 from an administrative line item in the grant budget, not in my budget, but in the grant budget, to direct assistance line item. And that requires a budget modification with approval by the state. I have probably a 99.9% confidence that the state is not going to be upset if we basically provide more money for direct assistance versus administrative costs. So I am a little concerned about the final resolve, mainly because it doesn't say how it's funded. It simply says that Ulster County shall allocate the amount equal. Where those monies come from, whose budget they go in, how they're expended, expense, do they come out of contingency? Those are the real questions that don't get answered by the last resolve. And so I would hope to be able to sort of come back to you prior to the legislative meeting and be able to say to you that we have a verbal agreement from the state that says that they'll allow the budget modification at that particular point in time. If not, then you know, it's up to you in terms of how you review that last resolve with respect to its budget implications.
Okay, Legislator Rodriguez, may I ask you a question?
Oh, please do.
In answer to the concern Dennis just shared with us, where do you contemplate those funds would be drawn from?
So, number one, I just want to just highlight again that the final resolve, that it's the, you know, words are important in this regard. It says, in the event, right, that basically, and since Dennis has 99.9%, although I think Frank Dart might have some words about that one. But for those of you who remember who Frank Dart even was. But that said, I appreciate his 99.999% confidence in being able to accomplish this, but in the event that for some reason there was a hiccup, we would then probably just be working with the administration to go and say, well, look, at that point we are then charging the administrative fee. That those dollars reside somewhere within the county budget. If at that point then we have to go and remove out that those $15,000 from somewhere else within the budget to then dedicate it back into the program, that's honestly that's quite candidly that's something that you work out with Bert.
From my perspective, anticipatory budget discussions, you could just as easily do it by, if it doesn't happen, passing a resolution that has all the necessary bells and whistles in it to assign those dollar amounts and find out where they're going and how they're going to be funded, rather than basically try to anticipate the response from the state at this particular point in time. Probably going to get what we want. If we don't, the legislature could reconsider how it wants to fund that $15,000, entertain that resolution, and move forward and get it implemented. That's just a thought.
And as a counter thought, you know, it just becomes a matter in which, Dennis, what we are saying in this resolution is merely that we will anticipate that if in the event that there is in fact a rejection by New York State Homes and Community Renewal, that when we will take appropriate action. Obviously, then at that point, a subsequent resolution would have to be drafted to actually then at that point move those dollars around. As I know that the Deputy County Executives over there, we would go and work with the Commissioner of Finance to then at that point go draw up a resolution to go and move dollars from one line item to another line item. That's it.
Legislator Nolan, please.
Two things. One is that the penultimate resolved has a typo, so it's just should be resolved. And in the resolve that we're talking about here, this last one, this resolution could theoretically be sent up to the state. And it would be better for us if it didn't have the, if you don't do it, we've got another way that says we're going to use our money to do a certain thing. So I would just say, take that out. We are resolved to do it, but I don't think we have to have it in this in order to have an effective resolution. In fact, I think it's more effective without that final resolve.
Deputy County Executive Ryder, please.
Yeah, my only concern, and I have less concern with the third resolve than Dennis has. I'm not sure that the financial impact is accurate, because I'm not sure that this is creating $15,000 in revenue. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I have confidence that Dennis will get this done, so whether this third resolve stays in or not.
Which is why it's drafted the way that it is. I mean, in terms of the whole in the event, you know, I mean, basically, I am confident Dennis will do everything possible, but if for some reason, you know, we were not successful, we would then figure out with the administration, with the Commissioner of Finance, how to go and move the dollars around.
It's a minus $15,000. Yeah. It's not an additional 15. It's a minus number.
I left that to Victoria. Yeah,
It wasn't none. It was a minus number.
If she put down revenue dollars, okay, fine. I guess it's going to be, I guess it would be $15,000. Well, no, it's not an expense. They should be a transfer, I guess, technically speaking.
So the more I think about this, the more troubled I am. I don't like to pass a resolution in which I say that in a hypothetical event I will do something. I think that's not a good policy practice to hypothesize it in advance of the facts. I mean, Sherlock Holmes didn't like it, for sure. But in terms of voting on something, I would like to know the situation and then what we're doing about it. And this, in the event that, is new language to me in a resolution. And I understand your impulse to want to lock this down, but it seems to me that locking it down, or trying to lock it down, creates these, it kind of creates this tremor of we're going to do something and we don't even know when we might do it, or what, I don't, I don't like to vote on something that's a hypothetical.
Legislator Mayo, please.
I don't love it. Can you hold it? Can we work some of the details out?
If the major hiccup is the final resolved, then I guess I will go and, you know, because the number on the bottom, that's just Vicky wrote the wrong. It's not technically revenue dollars. It's actually going to be a transfer, I am assuming, at some point. If the final resolved is causing such disquiet at this time, Mr. Chair, I guess my amendment shall consist of only the two resolves.
So we'll strike the third resolve then?
Yeah.
Okay. We need
Now, did anybody actually second the amendment in the first place?
I don't know where we're at. This has to go now.
I've talked about this for a month. Lynn, were you going to second it?
I'll second the amendment.
Did we
yes.
move and second?
To remove the third resolve.
I then offered the amendment. So
amendment.
But are we correcting the financial impact?
Yeah. And you're removing the third resolved, right?
We're going to strike the third resolve.
Yeah. $15,000.
Okay, on the amendment,
yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried 5-0. On the resolution?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 5-0. So that ends our resolution. Is there any new business for the committee tonight?
Just a follow-up.
Let's later, Archer.
Is that okay?
Sure, certainly.
Maybe not new. Well, it is kind of new. New and old. we had talked about at the last meeting that we have the IT policy. Jay reached out to Eisner Ampner to get an idea of what it would cost to have them review it against the recommendations they made, and just so that we were having someone with expertise looking at the policies. And they gave us a rough estimate without sitting down and going into detail about what it would entail in the $3,500 to $4,500 range. And so I'd like to propose that we move forward on this and we sit down with them, kind of get an idea of what we would get and what they're going to look at and what recommendations and benchmark against best practice, which were a lot of their recommendations.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair for legislator, the deputy chair of the committee. What was the dollar amount that you referenced?
$3,500 to $4,500. It's 140 odd pages or more.
Yeah, I just didn't hear it the first time.
Yeah.
Sorry. My question is, I mean, I know that Joe came to this committee to sort of somewhat discuss the IT policy a little bit, and then we never really got back around to it, outside of us providing him with our own sort of comments, but I don't know.
Yeah, I did. If anybody provided him with comments, I haven't seen any comments. Have you seen any comments, Chair?
No.
What we're saying is that if you have comments, great, get them to us, but we really need technical experts to take a look at this and say, are we missing anything? Do we have everything we had talked about in that prior? And you know, this was kind of a follow-up that we had talked about way back when. So
sure.
We'd like to move forward with that and sit down with them and just craft everything out of what we would expect from them in their review of the policy.
Okay.
And we wanted to bring it here.
If I may, I'll just chime in from a procurement point of view, the value of this amendment. We can get a more detailed cost estimate, I believe, from them for this, but it's less than 10%, I think, of the original value of the contract, so it's not a cardinal change to what was awarded them originally, so we're, from a procurement point of view, we're on solid enough ground. And I would also say, I think it makes sense to get a third party look at this and just be able to have compare what was proposed and just know that, and we can have go forward with a reasonable assuredness that that what we have going forward is meets best practices. So I think it makes sense in my mind.
Okay.
Let's say no.
Yeah. Just on another topic that I think might be of interest to many of the people here tonight, the 850, dumping activities in Sardis that we have discussed in many different committees, and that both the executive and the chair of the legislature have expressed support for the town of Sardis. The DEC today and yesterday sent Joseph and Rachel Corrales notices of violation detailing dozens of regulations that they are in violation of, and stopping work at the site, and requiring that they clean up the site.
What site is this?
The 212 on the 212 in Saugerties, and then on two residential properties that are right at the border of Saugerties and Woodstock. So there'll be some news coverage of it tomorrow, but it's really good news for the DEC to be taking this active, very forceful stance on this.
Oh, thank you.
And there are a lot of elected officials put a lot of from the county that put effort into it, so the residents are very grateful.
Thank you. Any other new business? Motion to adjourn.
Moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are adjourned.